Hey, I welcome you. This is spiritual leadership in the home. If you're not in the right place, there's still time to go to another place if you want. But I'm glad that you're here. My name is Bob Shaw, and it's my privilege to be leading you today. I'm part of the staff at Fieldstone Counseling, and been there for about 4 years. And just by way of quick background, I've been a pastor for the past 32 years, have served in churches in Ohio and Pennsylvania, but I'm not currently on a church staff. I'm just really, you know, to be honest with you, I'm really enjoying focusing on individuals and couples and families and not running the whole church. So, but I do have a real heart for pastors and for ministry leaders. And one of the things that Fieldstone has let me do is really bring some emphasis to how are we helping pastors and their families, and ministry leaders and their families, and something we call shepherd care. You're not here for that, per se, but that's my little commercial, and if you're a pastor or ministry leader, I'd love to talk to you, because how you go, goes your marriage, goes your family, and affects the whole congregation. So, with that, brief introduction, but first of all, did you all get your handout? It was on the back. Good. Real quick, I have been married to Linda for 44 years. We raised 3 sons, Ben, Jeremy, and Josh. And they're obviously grown and out of the nest. Our middle son, Jeremy, 4 years ago, really left the nest. He's in heaven. He's with God. So we've crossed that bridge of having a son die. And he was a brand new daddy, 2-month-old son. So that was hard. Some of you may have tasted that or know someone who's been through that. So we live in Fairlawn in the Akron area, and I've been here many times to counsel, so I do know where a few of the bathrooms are. So, all right, let's pray, all right? And then we'll begin. Lord Jesus, you never were in a rush, and I do not want to rush through a bunch of material and leave you behind. So you know what brings each person here today. You know you've seen them at their best, and you've seen them at their worst. Me too. And so you meet us right where we are in love. Love on these brothers and sisters. Encourage them where they're discouraged. Give them maybe an idea they've never thought about before. Wherever they are with their parenting, you know. And with your help, it can be better. So use this time to help it be better. Speak in ways that make sense. I pray this in your name. Amen. All right. I want to begin by reading a poem. And you do not have this in your handout. And it's from an author, you may have heard of Shel Silverstein, or some of you familiar with his books. This is from a book called A Light in the Attic. And the title of this is called Clarence. Just listen. Clarence Lee from Tennessee loved the commercials he saw on TV. He watched with wide believing eyes and bought everything they advertised. Cream to make his skin feel better. Spray to make his hair look wetter. Bleach to make his white things whiter. Stylish jeans that fit much tighter. Toothpaste for his cavities. Powder for his doggy's fleas. Purple mouthwash for his breath. Deodorant to stop his sweat. He bought each cereal they presented. Bought each game that they invented. Then one day he looked and saw, and this is in quotes, a brand new maw, a better paw, new improved in every way. Hurry, order yours today. So, of course, our little Clarence sent off for 2 brand new parents. The new ones came in the morning mail. The old ones he sold at a garage sale. And now they're all doing fine. His new folks treat him sweet and kind. His old ones work in an old coal mine. So, if your ma and pa are mean and make you eat your lima beans, and make you wash, and make you wait, and never let you stay up late, and scream and scold and preach and pout, that simply means they're wearing out. So, send off for 2 brand new parents, and you'll be happy as little Clarence. That's not in the Bible, but I like it. Can you relate to that? We're going to go through some material, obviously. I really would love for this to be interactive, and our time is short. So I may end up doing most of the talking, but there will be some times when we're just going to, I'd love to get some quick feedback from you. But I trust the Lord will use this in a way that maybe scratches where you itch. We're going to go through 3 basic sections here today. The first one, what's the purpose of parenting? What's then the challenge of parenting? And then how do we lead our children to Christ? Each one of those deserves a whole lot more time than what we have. And before we start going through this, I need to do a personal disclaimer. I learned this early on from a pastor who taught me a whole lot about parenting, and I'm using his words for me. I am a wonderful, successful failure at being the husband and father that God has called me to be, at least perfectly. If you are a perfect parent, you're in the wrong room. I'm going to worry more about you. You need counseling. How's that? But if you're like me, maybe you found out that, first of all, marriage was humbling, and parenting is really humbling, because it brings you face to face with your own selfishness. If you haven't come face to face with that one yet, then you do need counseling. It is humbling. And so I really affirm you all being here. I do not come to you with, I have it all figured out and I've done it perfectly. But I do have enough to maybe have something to share with you. And so we're on the same team, though we gather and then scatter. But I hope something clicks for you. If it does, put a star by it and remember it. Here we go, the purpose of parenting. I'm going to reread this text. Those of you just coming from the main session, you have heard that. Jonathan just said that. Listen to it again. This is from Deuteronomy 6. And by the way, where does this take place? This is Moses. This is the world's biggest huddle. Probably 3 million plus people. I don't know how he did it without a microphone. But everybody's huddled up, plains of Moab. They're about to walk into the promised land. And he says, time out, let's talk about what we need to remember before we get distracted going in there. And that's what this is. So hear the word of the Lord. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. This is Moses to the people. That you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you, your son, and your son's son. In other words, all your kids. By keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. ... Hear, O Israel. Hear, O parents, today. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them how? Diligently. The NIV has impressed them on your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Whew. Based on that, Real quick, what would you say right off the cuff? Don't look any further than the notes. What is the purpose of parenting? Be brave. Speak up.
Show them Christ.
Show them Christ.
Teach your children.
Teach.
Disciple.
Seek wisdom from the Lord. Amen. Because you're not the Lord, and neither am I, and we need His help. The next thing in bold is my serve to you is what the purpose of parenting is. Look at it. The purpose or the goal of Christian parenting is to help your children know, love, and obey God through faith in Jesus Christ so that what? So they become all God wants them to be. Jonathan was really driving that home. All that God wants them to be, not necessarily all that you may want them to be. But if it's what God wants them to be, it's going to be okay. Right? All right. So based on this text alone, what are some implications and some applications? Let me read this through. You chew on it, and then we'll talk briefly again. Okay, here we go. This is a commandment, not an option. Any commandment means what? This is not up for vote. This isn't that sobering. If all this is a commandment, then what's the good news then? Therefore, it must be possible with God's help. So take heart. Second, you can't give what you don't have. Now that line you've probably heard is not in Scripture, but it sure makes sense, particularly when it comes to parenting. Parents need to be growing in their own relationship with God. What do you mean? Knowing, loving, obeying God. Just like the purpose for our kids, it's God's purpose for us. Same thing. Third bullet. All parents are teachers. Teaching God's Word by God's Spirit. Sometimes directly, having a Bible study or devotions or the kids are reading something with you directly. But usually it's what? Indirectly. It's just kind of as you go. On the way to the soccer fields, you're in the minivan, you're in the grocery store. Life. You are always on stage 24/7. Always on stage 24/7. Next one, parents are the primary Christian educators of their children. The church comes alongside parents and assists them but does not replace them. In terms of spiritual leadership, which is what this is here today, all of us are homeschoolers. How's that? Next one, there is a huge difference between a Christ-centered family and a child-centered family. At least there is from God's point of view. And with that, the picture of a universe and who's at the center of our family's universe, is it our kids? And we teach them that we go around them and God goes around them. We kind of squeeze Him in. Or is Jesus really the center of our family and we orbit around Him? Huge difference. Huge difference. Last little bullet. How you parent, for better or for worse, affects not only your children, but your children's children and descendants after that. Now that to me is sobering. If I'm on stage 24/7 and how I'm parenting them affects not just my kids, but how they raise their kids, then how you parent your children is affecting your grandchildren you don't even see yet. So let me pause. Any quick thoughts on these implications, applications so far? Make sense? Okay. So now, I promise you this will be practical. This is the practical section now, just of this first thing about the purpose of parenting. Practical suggestions. Give each child or your children an age-appropriate Bible, read it with them, help him or her apply it to the challenges they are experiencing in life. Please do not bore them with the Word of God. Because what they'll learn is that the Word of God is boring. But if you help them apply it to what happened at school today, when the guy pushed you down or you saw someone cheating on a test, I see how this makes sense. Now, on a practical note, there's a million children Bibles out there now. Back in the day, there weren't. But we had one, and I remember sitting down with my young kids. It was kind of a cartoonish version. Excellent theology, though. And I would sit my son down on my lap, and I would read it in voices. God's voice sounded like this. Children's voices sounded just like my kids' voices. And all of a sudden, they became engaged. What am I saying? Be creative in how you read the Word of God so that they're engaged by God. Don't bore them. Please don't bore them. All right. Second idea, have a short family devotion time after dinner. Now, I told you I was going to be honest in this. We have had family devotions, and our boys learned early on. They could fall asleep or not pay attention and just pop up when I asked them the question, and they would say, Jesus. Or love. Or forgiveness. And it'll get them right off the hook. No. I think there are seasons for family devotions. Our kids are always growing up to, make it not boring but interesting. It needs to be short and sweet. And the younger the child, the more concrete it may be with visual aids and that kind of thing. But it's up to us to be connecting to them. Okay? Next idea, memorize short verses as a family. You could start with this one. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in Scripture, right? Okay. You may not want to start there. Here's the one you might want to start with. Honor your father and mother. Genesis 1:1. Psalm 23. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. And later in the Gospels, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just start building a house one brick at a time. And memorize Scripture together. Okay, next page. Got a bunch of practical ideas here. On a Sunday, discuss what everybody learned in church on the way home in the car. Don't waste that time. It's fresh. Now I need to talk real quick on this one. I was in seminary, preached my first sermon to a congregation. I was nervous. I preached 45 minutes. And I asked the question, I was preaching on worship and the gift of the Magi came to the infant Jesus. And I said, for how many of you, and the point was they came prepared to worship. I said, for how many of you getting here to worship today was like World War III in your car? One hand went up. It was my son. I kid you not. And everyone in the congregation knew that that was my son. I don't remember the talk in the ride home, but I'm sure we had a serious talk. Anyway, talk on the way home. Next bullet, ask your children, and the next three bullets work together. Ask your children, how can I be praying for you? Let them tell you. Don't assume you know. Ask them. And then pray for them right there. And then follow up maybe a few days later or a week later, say, how'd that go? It opens a window between the two of you. How can I be praying for you? The next bullet is, let them know how to be praying for you so that it's a two-way street. It's just not top down. It's both of us need prayer. And the next bullet, this to me learned early on here, pray over your children as they sleep. Fathers particularly, you are the high priest of your family. Remember the story of Job. He prays for his children daily in case they might have sinned. It's that idea. Just pray over your children as they sleep. Their soul never sleeps. Pray for their character. Pray they would know Christ. Pray for their future spouses and children. And you're affecting generations. You can do that. You can do that. Next one. Look for teachable moments whenever you are with your children. You probably heard this one, but if you haven't, you hear it again. Life is full of teachable moments if we just see them as opportunities to help our kids connect what they're seeing with God. So again, one of my sons came to me one day. He said, "Dad, do angels have belly buttons?" Well, I had to think. And that makes me think through theology. Now, how are angels different than people and so forth? So we had an interesting talk. I didn't come up with that one. He did. But as you're passing the homeless person, and your kid says, "Well, Daddy, what about him?" Use that as teachable moments. Don't miss those. You've heard it said, but it's true, your faith is more caught than taught, right? Yeah. All right. Give your children a biblical vision of manhood and womanhood. Boy, if we have not done a good job. But our kids need that today. And if they don't get it from you, who are they going to get it from? As Jonathan said, there's others who would love to disciple your kids. But in particular, this whole thing with gender identity. I think God aches over that. Help our kids have a biblical vision for what a man is and what a woman is. Last one, help your children develop biblical worldview and the courage to stand up for Jesus. Help them to think biblically. They don't have to be a Bible scholar. They don't have to memorize all the scripture, but what would Jesus do here? How should I make this decision to do this or this? Give them, before they leave the nest, a biblical worldview and the courage to stand up for Jesus. It isn't going to be easier, folks. It's getting harder. And our kids have to be solid in their faith. Okay. This is going too fast. Any thoughts on that before we shift gears? What's the purpose of parenting? Help them become what? To know, love, and obey God, and help them become all God wants them to be. Yes, sir. Speak up. Yeah. I keep picturing an orbit. And I think with all good intent, we can easily show our kids that they are the center of all of our time and money. And we're running physically like crazy around their schedules. And I think we need to be very careful about that. And so obviously Sunday is just blurred with sports. And I love sports. But what are we teaching our kids? So then it comes down to, how do we handle meals? Do we take time out for grace? Do we look at the Bible? Do we pray? What do we do when things don't go well? Helping them process. So that deserves more time, but I think you get the idea of the orbit. Who's orbiting around whom? And don't fool yourself on that one. Other thoughts? Yes. Genesis 1:1. Start there. Yeah, Psalm 23. Romans 3:23. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. 6:23. The wages of sin is death. And then from there, you're on your own. Yeah. You can't give what you don't have. Yeah. So we run around making sure they have every advantage all the other kids do, and what are we really teaching them? that the world revolves around them. And someday they'll find out it doesn't. I'm going to move us on. Good thoughts, folks. All right. The challenge of parenting. We start with scriptures here. Ephesians 6. Children, obey. What's obey mean? Obey means obey. Don't think too deep. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And now a quote going back to the fifth commandment, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. End quote. Fathers, do not provoke, the NIV has exasperate, your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parallel passage from Colossians. Children, obey. The same word. Your parents in what? Everything. What's everything mean?
Everything.
For this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke, again, the NIV, embitter your children, lest they become discouraged. Based on these scriptures, what would you say is the challenge of parenting? How do we do that? Right? Without discouraging them. How do we help them to obey without it being this war? So, again, my serve ball to you in the bold. The challenge of Christian parenting is to parent in such a way that encourages rather than discourages your children in terms of their knowing, loving, and obeying God. That goes back to the purpose statement. But how do we do that in a way that doesn't break their heart or their will? All right, bear with me. Implications again, applications, and we'll pause. Parents have the God-given authority to be proactive in requiring obedience from their children because such obedience pleases the Lord. The goal is to help children respect all God-given authorities and to see that their ultimate obedience and accountability is to God. By the time they leave the nest, hopefully they have that in mind. They are accountable to God. And if they haven't learned that, they're going to learn it the hard way. Second, obedience is due to both parents. Please see this. Again, this is from the text. The husband, father, is viewed by God as a spiritual leader of the home, but the wife, mother, represents him as his teammate and has his full authority, whether the husband, father is present or not, and deserves total respect from the children. This was the biggie in our house. When I saw a boy, our boys not respecting mom, and then I would need to, and sometimes I wasn't there and learned about it coming home. This idea of respecting, honoring mother and father. There is a little asterisk there. Some of you may be single mothers. This, to me, is a challenge because as a single mom, you're it. And you have to step in and be that spiritual leader of the family. Then Lord bless you and encourage you because you are being both dad and mom. And that has to be one of the hardest jobs in the world. So you really need God's help. And I know He wants to give it to you. Next bullet. Parents must become the world's best students of their children. Understanding their unique personalities, strengths, weaknesses, motivations, fears, dreams. This all factors into determining age-appropriate instruction, expectations, corrections, and discipline. Are you the world's best students of your children or grandchildren? How are they wired? Parents can sometimes provoke, exasperate, and embitter their children to anger, with the result that their children become discouraged, lose heart, lack spirit, lose courage. This is usually due to what? Parents either, this is the opposite here, setting the bar of expectations too high. Second grader cannot do that. He's not mature enough. The opposite is also true. keeping the bar too low, and now kids just learn they can do whatever they want, and they end up still discouraged and they lose heart because there's no boundaries. Either way, we can err. Oh God, help us to know the difference, right? Rules without relationship equals rebellion. I didn't make that up. I like it. Some of you familiar with Josh McDowell? What's he saying there? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. Rules, but there's no relationship equals rebellion. You can count on it one way or the other. Could be passive aggressive, but it'll come out. That's not how God treats you and me. Yes, He gave us rules, but with relationship. He demonstrated it, right? Okay. Last bullet there. Parents are not always going to get their parenting right. When they blow it, they can model forgiveness by asking their child for forgiveness. You ever done that? That's humbling. You go first. All right. Because of time, I'm going to move us into the practical suggestion section here. Fathers, have a weekly club time with each of your children. What's a club time? It's just a private one-on-one time with each of your children. If you're a single mom, you say, well, how do I do that? I don't know, but figure it out. And so we would have a club time. We had a secret handshake and a code word, and I think we wore something. I mean, this is young kids, right? But we put it on the calendar, and your child will come to depend on that. That's my time with Dad. And you do whatever the child wants within reason. And all of a sudden, that relationship comes into play over the time that you spend with them. The next time you have to discipline them. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. Have an occasional family huddle. What is that? That's a time when you say, after dinner, I want us to huddle up. So you sit around the table, or you go in the living room, and so you say, you know what? I really want to say some good things about John and Betsy, and how you guys have been doing your jobs and treating your mom with respect. You lead with affirmations. And then you might come in and say, here's some other things I've noticed that probably need to change. And what are your thoughts on that? Now, that doesn't mean they run the family, but at least they have a chance to speak. You go around a little bit and you find out how they're doing. It's just a timeout time, doesn't have to be long. And then pray for each other. It's a family huddle. How are we doing as a family? How are we doing? Encouragement, and so forth. Next idea, create a family constitution. I learned this one, I think, from Focus on the Family. It spells out in writing our purpose and core values as a family, individual responsibilities, consequences for not fulfilling our responsibilities, how we will treat each other, etc. Think about that. We're calm. we're in a good place as a family. Now let's talk through how we're going to treat one another. What are our jobs, responsibilities, including mom and dad, but also you're cleaning the fish tank and you're going to take the garbage out. And if you choose not to do that, then these are going to be the consequences. Just saying it up front. Calm. Instead of in the heat of the moment making something up and something comes out of the mouth and it's too late. As a family, we're a team. Each person part of the team, each one valuable, each has responsibilities. Family constitution, think about that one. Maybe that would work for you. Have a family fun night. If you haven't had that in a while, say, well, I had no time to have fun. Then you're too busy. Board games, stupid stuff, but just have fun. And then a family serving day where we're out serving in some way others. Monthly maybe, just a rhythm, a reminder. We're not a child-centered family. We're a Christ-centered family. Okay, you get the idea. One more on the page 3 at the top. Have an annual retreat. This is for you as parents. No kids. But this is a time for you to go away. It can be cheap. And just talk about how are we doing as a couple, marriage care. How are we doing as parents, kid care. What are our goals for each one of our kids going into this next year as a team? Practical idea. All right. 1 minute. Any of those, yeah, that makes sense.
It's not because it's coming from me. It's
yes,
parent,
yes.
It's because it's coming from God.
That's it.
Otherwise, the stuff that you do with discipline, hey, you need to stop 1, 2, they'll eventually learn nothing happens after you get to 3. Then you start your own language.
Absolutely. Well said. And so you communicate to them, I live before God and I am accountable to God. And part of that is how I raise you. Yeah. Excellent point. Any others? Yes, sir.
I think another part is crucial when we sin against our kids.
Sanitize them.
When we sin against them.
Oh, sin against them. Okay.
Sin against them.
No, I got you.
As parents, we need to ask for forgiveness.
We do.
Okay, and like you said, that is humbling, but I think that can actually bridge the gap with our kids because sometimes we know we're wrong. Because I'm dad.
That's right.
That's how it's going to be.
That's right.
And that's not biblical. If they see me humbling myself and say, you know what, I shouldn't have said that like that. I'm sorry. Could you please forgive me? Let's pray. I think that would be more impactful.
Amen and amen. And they will remember that. Maybe more than the devotion that night. Jesus. Yeah. All right, you guys, we're going down the home stretch. I wish we had a little more time, but this next section, obviously, leading your children to Christ. Let me ask you a question. How many of you came to faith in Christ through and because of and with your mom and or dad hands? Look at around the room. Majority, not. How we get to Christ, that's up to God. But why not more parents being the primary instrument? And so this section kind of moves us into an area that maybe you haven't really thought about, but God's thought about a little bit. So we're going to look at again at a scripture. This is from Mark 10. As they were, this is the disciples, were bringing children to him, Jesus, that he might touch them. The disciples rebuked them, but when he saw it, he was indignant and said to them, can you imagine the camera zooming in on Jesus' face? What do you think he looked like when he was indignant? Yeah. He said to them, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall never, what's never mean?
Never.
Never, never enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. So much can be said about this wonderful picture of Jesus and the children. The next section is just some questions, and I wish we had more time, but why do you think the disciples rebuked the people as they brought the children to Jesus? Because children weren't that important. We have inverted that one big time in our culture to a fault. To a fault. Why did Jesus respond to his disciples the way he did? Because he saw the connection between the kids and eternal life and the kingdom of God. And children are walking, talking visual aids of how we're to appear before God in being child-like and not childish. Childlike in trust and dependence, wonder and awe. Not the self-centered me, me, me. So, in what ways might we as parents hinder our children from coming to Jesus? You say, well, I'm a Christian parent. I make sure they get to Sunday school. But at home, you may be blocking the view of Jesus by your actions. And in that sense, you're hindering. Galloway. If you're going to be there, then show them what Jesus is like. That question alone might be worth talking about on the way home from here. How do we hinder our children? The church can hinder our children from coming to Jesus. I'm a pastor. I just said that. By our overactivity, by our saying to our kids, spiritual stuff only happens in the church. And just adding to the busyness of busyness. All right, I'm on a tangent. Here we go. If your child said, I want to be a Christian like you, Dad, or you, Mom, what would you say? Could you explain the gospel in an age-appropriate way? There it is. Now, I will go through this fairly quickly. Parents are partners with God in leading their children to Christ. Partners with God. Remember, you're not God, but you're a partner with God. Children need to understand who Jesus is, how they can accept him into their lives, be given an opportunity to do so. Children are ready for this when? Now, again, a pause here. One of my sons did this at age 3. I don't think we can say there is an absolute where children can or cannot come to Christ. Just because they're a child doesn't mean they're closer to God. But they still need to have an understanding of the God who made them and how do I be a part of his family. That's the wording, I think, that's most helpful. So these are suggestions that your children are ready for this kind of interaction with Jesus to become part of his family when they have a concept of God as a person who loves them and wants their love. That alone, you're modeling 24/7 one way or the other, right? Because you're the first impression they have of God. Second thing, that they know the difference between right and wrong and are genuinely sorry for wrongdoing and then transfer this somehow over time to their relationship with God. And we can disobey God. And the Bible calls that sin. That just happens to be the word for it. But it's the same thing. When you disobey mom and dad, it's like when mom and dad maybe disobey God. The Bible calls that sin, that concept, getting that across, and that they're sorry for their sins. The third one, they have a basic understanding that Jesus made salvation possible by his life, death, and resurrection. That's a trunk load of theology. I understand that. But you can communicate that in a simple way over time, one piece at a time. And do they understand that concept? Fourth one, they are able to make choices on their own, and commit then to that choice, their decision. And then finally, they are drawn by the Holy Spirit, not by peer pressure and not by pressure from you. And this is where you just have to, Lord, help me understand, is my son ready or not? These are the things down below here that I would suggest that if you're communicating the gospel to your kids, here's the basic touchstones, the bases, if you will. And by the way, kids love visual aids. So all of these could be used in visual aids. You have a shoe with shoelaces. In the beginning, God created us so we'd be in a relationship with him, shoelaces tied. And then we choose to disobey him and not follow him, then it's like we undo the shoelaces. And now we can't tie him back together, and that's why God sent Jesus to tie him back. And so now they see it visually. That kind of thinking. Be practical. Be practical. All right, here's the truth. Your mom and I love you very much. We're so glad that you're part of our family. God loves you very much, and he wants us to be part of his family. You start there. Family, family, family. Here's the problems. Something separates us from being part of God's family. It's called sin. And we sin whenever we disobey God in what we think, do, or say. All people have sinned, including mom and dad, and deserve God's punishment. And you can see the scriptures there. Solution. God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to rescue us from our sins by dying on a cross in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve. Remember the other day when you had to stand in the corner, John? You had to, that was a consequence. Jesus took that on himself in a different way, and it cost him his life. See? Because Jesus made, God made Jesus come alive, our sins are forgiven, we can become part of God's family forever. And then the question, would you like to become a member of God's family? If so, here's a way you could do that without manipulation. I hate that. So does God. So here's a prayer. Here's a prayer. Quite honestly, the best is the child using their own words. But sometimes at least they can hear maybe what it might sound like. And maybe you need to guide them. But it's not forced. Here's the prayer. This is adapted from the Billy Graham Association. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm glad you love me. I'm sorry for my sins and I ask you to forgive me and help me to change. I believe you died for my sins and afterwards came alive. I ask you to give me a new life and make me a part of God's family forever. Please help me love you and obey you every day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Words to that effect, but you see the basics in there. Okay. Once the child's made a commitment to Christ, make it a big deal. Take a picture. Note it in their Bible so they remember. They can come back. Yeah, that's the day I became a member of God's family. And then you kick in with all the stuff we just talked about. Here's your Bible. Now let's read it every night. How can I be praying for you? Bring them to Sunday school and so forth. All right. That's really rushed. And I wish we had more time. I hope there was something today that at least, yeah, maybe I can do something different. And go home. Talk about it in the car. Without arguments. And it was worth coming today. It was worth coming today. Let me pray for us and let you go. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being with these parents. And the fact is, we'll never be back together just like we are today. In this room, much less with these people, we're just going to go different directions here. And with that, the ripple of how we parent will go out into eternity. Bless these parents. Encourage them. Give them a sense that you are with them and for them. And when they blow it, which they will, may they take a shower in the gospel and receive again the good news that you have forgiven them. And let's get up and start again. I pray this in your name. Amen.